that most of the religions. Basically, they speak good things. But Islam, besides speaking good things, it shows you a way how to achieve a state of goodness. And people object and they have different opinion. How should the law be? And one of the common objections is that women, they are subjugated because of the Islamic hijab. And they say that the Islamic hijab, it's not modest at all. It's not for modesty, it is for subjugating the woman. And if we analyze and if we look around us today in the world, the level of modesty, it keeps on differing from individual to individual, depending upon the surrounding and the society. For example, in certain Muslim Arab countries, even looking at a woman, even staring at a woman is considered immodest. Here in India, you can look at a woman, you can talk to a woman. But if you touch a woman, it's immodest. Therefore, the Indian sort of greeting is with the folded hands. As long as you don't touch a woman in India, it is considered modest. If you go to certain Western countries, shaking hands, men and women, men and ladies, it's modest. You can shake hands, you can talk, you can stay, no problem. In fact, if a lady puts a hand forward or if a gent puts a hand forward and the opposite sex does not shake hands, it's considered that they are uneducated or that they are uncultured. So there, shaking hands is within the modesty level. In some Western countries, you can even kiss a woman, you can kiss a lady, a man can kiss a lady on the cheek, on the lip, no problem, it is modest. In certain Western countries, you can do what you want. The men and women can do what they want as long as they do with permission of each other, it is considered modest. So the level of modesty keeps on changing. Now, how will we human beings decide which is the best, which is modest? For example, if you go to USA or go to the Western countries, there if a young lady, if she wears a mini skirt or shorts, she's considered modest. But here that same lady comes, or any lady in India or in Madras wears a mini skirt or short, she'll be considered immodest. Right or wrong? Yes or no? I was there in America a few years back. There's an American who told me that the Indian women, they're immodest. I was shocked. I said, how come the Indian women are immodest? He told me that the Indian women, they wear the sari and they expose their belly. So for the American, exposing the belly is immodest. And then I thought, what he's saying, it makes sense. For him, modesty level is that you should cover your belly. Now, we Eastern people, we Indians, we think we're very modest. But for the Westerner, exposing the belly is immodest. So who's to decide what is modest or what is immodest? The best one to decide is our Creator, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Almighty God. So let's analyze what is mentioned in the Islamic Sharia, the Quran and the Hadith, about the modesty level. And people who lay an allegation that Islam subjugates the woman because of hijab, I would like to tell them that if you go back in history, at the time of Babylonian, the Babylonian civilization, they ill-treated the woman. If a man committed murder, instead of he getting the punishment, his wife was put to death. In the Greek civilization, they had a concept of an imaginary woman by the name of Pandora, who was the cause of all the misfortunes. They initially, they believed in chastity, but because of ego and fame, prostitution became common. In the Roman civilization, nudity was very common. Prostitution and promiscuity was very common. In the Egyptian civilization, the woman was considered as a sign of the devil. And in the Arab civilization, before the Quran was revealed, very often, when a female was born, she was put to death. She was buried alive. Islam is the first religion, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the major benefactor who uplifted the woman. After Islam gave rights to the woman, it also showed them a way how to maintain their modesty, how to maintain their rights, how to maintain the position. That's the reason hijab has been prescribed. People normally talk about hijab of the woman, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, in the Quran, He first speaks about the hijab for the men and then for the women. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 30, say to the believing man that he should lower his gaze and guard his modesty. Whenever a man looks at a woman, any brazen thought comes in his mind, he should lower his gaze. Any unashamed thought comes in his mind, he should lower his gaze. One day, the Muslim who was staring at a girl for a long time. I told him, brother, what are you doing? It's not allowed in Islam. So he told me that a beloved prophet said, the first glance is permitted, the second is prohibited. I have not completed half my glance. What did the prophet mean when he said the first glance is forgiven, the second is prohibited? That does not mean a person can look at a woman for 10 minutes without blinking and saying, I have not completed my glance. It means that if you unintentionally look at a woman, do not intentionally look at her again to feast on her beauty. The next verse speaks about the hijab for the woman. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 31, say to the believing woman that she should lower her gaze and guard her modesty, and display not her beauty except what appears ordinary of, and draw a head covering over her bosom, and display not her beauty except in front of her husband, her sons, her father, and a big list of mahram, the close relatives who she can't marry is given. There are basically six criteria for the hijab, which is mentioned in the Quran and the authentic hadith. The first is the extent. For the man, it's from the navel to the knee. For the woman, the complete body should be covered. The only part that can be seen are the face and the hands up to the wrist. There are many scholars who say that even this should be covered. The remaining five criteria are the same for the man and the woman. The second criteria, the clothes they wear, it should be loose. It should not reveal the figure. Third, it should not be transparent so that you could see through. Fourth, it should not be so glamorous so that it attracts the opposite sex. Fifth, it should not resemble that of the opposite sex. And sixth, it should not resemble and be a sign of the unbeliever. These are basically the six criteria of hijab. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ahzab, chapter number 33, verse number 59, that, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the believing women that when they go abroad, they should put on the cloak so that they shall be recognized and it will prevent them from being molested. Quran says hijab has been prescribed for the women so that it will prevent them from being molested. Suppose there are two twin sisters, were very beautiful, wife very beautiful, and if they're walking down the streets of Madras, and if one twin sister, she's wearing the Islamic clothes, complete body covered, except the face and hands up to the wrist, and the other twin sister, she's wearing the Western clothes, the mini skirts or shorts. And if round the corner, there is a hooligan, there's a ruffian who's waiting for a catch, who's waiting to tease a girl. I'm asking a question, which girl will it tease? Will it tease the girl wearing the Islamic hijab, or will it tease the girl wearing the Western clothes, the mini skirts or short? Which girl will it tease? But naturally, he will tease the girl wearing the mini skirts or short. So Quran rightly says that hijab has been prescribed for the woman so that it will prevent them from being molested. And after that, if any man rapes any woman, the Islamic Sharia says he gets capital punishment. People will say, capital punishment? In this age of science and technology, Islam is a barbaric religion. It's a merciless religion. It's a ruthless way of life. But when I ask this question, and I've asked this question to hundreds of non-Muslims, that suppose, God forbid, someone rapes your mother, and if you are made the judge, and if the rapist is brought in front of you, what punishment will you give him? And believe me, 100%, all of the non-Muslims said, we will put him to death. So why these double standards? When someone rapes your mother, you want to put him to death. When somebody rapes somebody else's mother, you say that Islam is a barbaric religion. When someone rapes your mother, you want to put him to death. When someone rapes somebody else's mother, you say the death penalty is a barbaric way of life. Why the double standards? The only person who differed when I asked this question was a smart Alec in America. But during question and answer session, I keep on traveling. He told me, Brother Zakir, if someone rapes my mother, I will not put him to death. I will give him 5 years imprisonment, rigorous imprisonment. Fine. I said, do you know, according to the American statistics, those people that are convicted for rape, after they go out, more than 95% of them, they again commit rape. So if you want your mother to be raped again, you're most welcome. We Muslims don't want our mothers to be raped. You know, if that's the case, then I'll put him to death at the first time. And if you analyze America, which happens to be one of the most advanced countries in the world, do you know that according to the statistics of FBI, in the year 1990 alone, there were 1,02,555 cases of rapes reported. 102,555 cases of rapes reported. And the FBI report said that only 16% of the rape cases were reported. So if you want to know exactly how many rapes took place, you have to multiply by 6.25 and you get a total of 640,968 rapes that took place in 1990 in USA alone. If you divide this figure by 365, the number of days, you get an average of 1,756 rapes that took place in America, according to FBI, in the year 1990. Every day, 1,756. If you read another report of the National Crime Victimization Survey Bureau, the US Department of Justice, it says in the year 1996, every day, on average, 2,713 cases of rapes took place. 2,713. That means every 32 seconds, one rape took place in America in 1996. We are here in this auditorium for the past 1.5 hours. Already more than 100 rapes may have taken place in America since the time we are here. I am asking a question that if you implement the Islamic Sharia in America, that is, any man, when he looks at a woman and any brazen thought comes in his mind, he should lower his gaze. And after that, the woman, they should wear the Islamic hijab, complete body covered, except the face and the hands up to the wrist. And after that, if any man rapes a woman, he gets death penalty, he gets capital punishment. I am asking the question that will the rate of rape in America, will it increase? Will it remain the same or will it decrease? It will decrease. It's a practical law. You implement the Sharia and you get results. That's why I say that Islam, besides talking good things, all the religions say that you should not molest, you should not rape. But Islam shows you a way how to have a society in which people will not rape and molest. And the least rate of rape in any country in the world, it's in Saudi Arabia where this law is practiced. Therefore, I say that the Islamic Sharia is a perfect law. It is the most practical law. It shows you a way how to achieve peace. It may sound barbaric to those people who may not know the figures and the background of what's happening in the world. A law is a code in which you can get results, where you can get peace.